Hey, good morning, guys. I'm so happy that you're here with us. And again, we have some of our friends here with like the, having the mini, it's sort of like a watch party, I guess, but you're like literally here and we're having church together. And then we have the joy of having church with you right there in your home. And it's so exciting. We're in week number 3 of this series, Everything's Gonna Be Okay. How do you guys like this series so far? You feel like everything's gonna be okay?
Yeah.
Like, encourage. It's encouraging me. And I'm ready to, you know, we've been talking about stones. I actually have some. We bought some rocks at the rock store. Did you guys know there's a rock store? And you could just buy rocks. So I have some rocks. And I want to share with you first an interesting story about rocks. Have you ever had that thought? Maybe you see someone has an idea or they're selling some product or some service and you think, why didn't I think about that? You know, something that seems so simple and you see someone getting rich on this idea that you could have easily come up with. I mean, have you ever seen an idea and you thought, I did have that idea?
Yeah.
I promise you guys, everyone here, I came up, you know the movie, I think it was 2011, Cowboys and Aliens? I came up with that idea before the movie. You can ask my kids. They were doing an assignment, they needed to write a paper, and I said, what if you combine cowboys and aliens? But I never told anyone. And then the movie comes out and they make millions of dollars and I'm just left with, but my kids respect me because they know that was my idea. There's a guy that came up with an idea. He became a millionaire selling rocks. And there's rocks everywhere. I have rocks here. Would you think you could become a millionaire selling these? This guy, his name is Gary Dahl. In 1975 is when he started, the year I was born, he had this idea of the perfect pet. I mean, anyone here like pets? Any of you have pets, animal lovers? He thought of the perfect pet. It never disobeys, it never gets loud, it never dies. If you've had a pet die, you don't have to feed it, it doesn't poop in the house. He came up with the idea of the pet rock. And he literally, I have a few pet rocks of mine here. This one, I've named Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I have another one here, oh, Rocky Balboa. It's a pet rock. And then this one here is Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. Get it? That makes sense with rocks. But I literally, when I was 5 years old, I really had a pet rock. It came with a little leash that you could put around the rock and drag it with you, like take your rock for a walk. I mean, this idea was crazy. I don't remember what his name was. I don't know where he is, but 40 years later, there's one thing I'm sure of. He is somewhere still alive, still living, because you cannot kill a pet rock. But this guy, Gary Dahl, in just 6 months, he sold over 1 million rocks. And I don't mean something special like a face painted on it, no like little googly doll eyes or literally, a rock came in a box and they cost $4 each. This is back in the 70s. He sold over 1 million. I mean that in 6 months, that's quickly over $4 million by selling rocks, smaller than these actually. I might could charge $8 for that one. But I was thinking about the rocks and how there was value in it. And so when I think about the stones that we've been talking about the last few weeks, the stones are valuable. I mean, stones, rocks, it's the same thing. And the stones that we carry, the stones that we gather, the stones that we stack, this is my little stack here today, they're valuable. They have meaning. We've been talking about rocks or stones for these several weeks, and Joshua gathering stones when they were coming across the Jordan, and right in the middle of it, God said, pick up these stones, gather them right from the middle so you can remember what I've done. And then they stacked the stones so that they could remember and be encouraged for generations. Remember the story? He said, your children are going to ask about the stones and you're going to tell them what I've done for you. It was going to be this sign. It was so valuable. The stones were valuable. Last week I shared that there's two reasons to gather stones. One is for building, and the other is for battle. And so we talked last week about the building, stacking these stones. All of you guys have stones in your life. The, the testimonies, things that you've stacked up, that you've gone through, and God helped me through this, and he healed me from that, and he freed me here, and delivered me there, and all of these things, we stack them up, and they're valuable. We remember what God has done and how he's helped us cross over from who we were to who we are, from where we were to where we stand now. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, there's a very interesting continuance to this story. This is after they cross over, they stack the stones, and it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt.' So that place has been called Gilgal to this day." I mean, this is a special place where God says, "Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt." Gilgal means rolled away or to roll. So God's saying right here, your shame has been rolled away. They had crossed the Jordan and camped in Gilgal. They stacked the stones to remember God. The young men were circumcised to rededicate their hearts to their God. And then they celebrated the Passover, remembering God's salvation again, and God rolled away their shame. God rolled away the shame of the people. Only then, when our shame is gone, are we ready to fight. Now, after this, after God rolled away the shame, they went on to have one of the greatest victories recorded in the Bible, one of the greatest victories in history. When they went, we all know of the Battle of Jericho. We all know about the walls of Jericho falling down. All of this happened right after God rolled away their shame. Why were they still ashamed? You might be thinking that, like, they were free from Egypt. They had gotten away from Egypt. They had crossed the Jordan. Why did God still need to roll away the shame of being slaves in Egypt? The problem for God's people is that physically they had been free from Egypt for 40 years, but their hearts had never gotten free. There's a big problem. I mean, there's a big difference in being completely free and just being physically free. Their hearts were still slaves in Egypt. Their hearts had never been released. It's been said like this: it took one day for God's people to get out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of God's people. They still identified with the slavery. They still identified with their past. And before we can go any further in our lives, before any of us here in this room, before any of you there in your home, before you are ready to battle and fight for the things that God has promised you, you've got to allow God to roll the shame away. We can't move forward with shame in our hearts. We can't advance looking like we're free on the outside, but on the inside still being chained up. We can't win a battle that way. We can't fight. We can't accomplish the things that we've been called to do. After 40 years, they still identified as slaves. And some of you at home, physically, you've been free from your past maybe for years, but in your heart, you're still a slave. Physically, you may have moved from the past. You may have moved from where you were before. Maybe some of you here, you're not where you used to be, but in your heart, you still go back to that. In your heart, you still feel chained up by where you were. You may still identify with your past. You may still identify with your sin, with your mistakes, with your failures. And even though physically you're not in it anymore, your heart's still chained up. Your heart hasn't gotten free yet. You've got to allow God to roll away your shame. We all have to have a Gilgal experience. If we want to win battles in our life, if we want the promises that God has for us, we have to have this Gilgal experience. So here they are camped, ready to go into battle, and they had this moment of freedom that came as God rolled away their shame. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And that's what we all need to know. Jesus has come to set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. He brings freedom. God wants to roll your shame away. Right now, he wants to roll it away. He wants to heal your heart completely. He wants to free you body, soul, mind, and spirit. When we think back to this story of Joshua, God only told them to carry one thing with them, and it was a stone. Not the shame. hey, don't bring with you your baggage. Don't bring with you all the things that you're ashamed of. Don't bring your sin. Don't bring your failures. Don't bring that shame in your heart. He said, just pick up a stone to remember that I have allowed you to cross over. Just gather a stone and stack it so you'll remember, hey, God did something in my life. That's gone. I'm free from that. They had this moment where finally they could be free from Egypt, and now they were ready to move ahead as warriors for God's kingdom. It's such a powerful thing. In Psalm chapter 34, verses 4 through 5, just some beautiful scripture. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Here's the good part. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Radiant means bright with joy, like shining with joy and hope. Have you ever seen someone and their face just shines like that? Like you can see the joy on their face. You can see the hope. It's just this brightness. That's radiance like this is talking about. Look at someone around you. They're at home, even here. Look at someone around you and say, I'm not ashamed anymore. I am radiant. I'm radiant. You're radiant. No one here should be ashamed anymore. According to the scripture, God set us free. Now you're radiant. Your face should shine with joy. Your face should shine with hope. And people see it. And people notice it. On the streets of this city, you don't even have to speak anything. They can see it on your face and they want it. When we live like that, with that radiance, when we've been set free and our shame is rolled away and we walk every day of our life without shame. I mean, no more shame to hold us back. I mean, I just want to encourage everyone here and at home, please, 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 from the heart of your Father, receive this message. There's nothing that breaks God's heart more than when he sees his children still walking around in shame. He had to get his people free. Once the shame is gone, you can go into battle. And that's what Joshua did and had this great victory. And it made me think of another great victory that all of us are familiar with that also included stones. David and Goliath. How many of you love the story of David and Goliath? I love it. It's one of my favorites. Just a little background. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is where we go from building to battle. And so there was an enemy that was threatening God's people. They had a champion, this giant named Goliath. He was big. He was nasty. He was mean. No one was brave enough to fight him. No one wanted to approach him. He's shouting out threats to God's people. He's shouting out threats to the army of Israel. David's just a young teen at the time. And he comes up, he's delivering food to his brothers and just happens to see what's going on. And he's hearing Goliath and he's seeing his people being shamed by the enemy. And David decides, I've had enough. And so he says to King Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Imagine the courage of this young teenager saying, hey, there's no need for anyone to be worried. Let's not be ashamed anymore. I'll go and fight this guy. And Saul says, you can't fight him. You're too young. And David, what he does essentially is start to take stones off of his stack and talk to King Saul about it. I mean, David says, hey, when I was watching my father's sheep, a lion came and I defeated the lion. When I was watching my father's sheep, there was a bear that came. I defeated the bear too. David's got these stones that he's showing to Goliath, showing to King Saul. I've experienced some things. I've done some things. And he says, the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this giant. I mean, he's basically showing these stones to Saul and saying, hey, I've been through these things. I've seen God work. This isn't my first battle. This isn't the first thing I've experienced. I have experience with God, and so I'm ready for something more. I'm ready to take on this giant. And he remembers being rescued. What are you facing now in your life? What are you guys facing? What's standing in front of you? What giants are standing in front of you threatening to destroy you? Has God rescued you before? Has God saved you before? Why is this any different? And when you think about it, man, I've got a stack of stones. Now I'm facing a giant. Why would this be any different? Whatever you're facing now, why is it different from the last time God rescued you? Why is it different from the last time he saved you? You need to look back at these stones like David did and say, yeah, I can do this. The same God that helped me through this, the same God that brought me through that, he's going to take me forward. It's the same God, and he's still with me. If God rescued you before, he'll do it again. Amen? If he rescued you before, he'll do it again. And then in the story, it continues, and he says in verse 40, same chapter, chapter 17 of First Samuel, David chooses five smooth stones. The stones would have been sort of like this. You know, he chose five of these, put them in his pouch. Once again, we see someone gathering stones. It reminded me of Joshua, because here's David. He's gathering stones for the battle. He picks up the right ones, the smooth ones, ones that he could put in his sling and sling them around, and the aerodynamics would work. You know, if it was had like a rough place or maybe a jagged edge, it might not go as straight as he needed it to. So he got the right stone, the smooth one. And then Goliath saw him coming. So here's young David coming. He's got the stones in his pouch. He's got his sling. You know, Saul had tried to give him his armor and his sword, and none of that fit. You know, in our life, we have to go into battle with our own experiences. We can't really walk with just someone else's experience. We have to have what we've experienced. So David said, I'm not used to these things. I can't walk in this. He tried walking around in the armor. So he just went with the sling and the stones. Goliath starts mocking him and teasing him and shouting at him and trying to shame David. He's trying to mock him and shame him, because the enemy will always try to use shame to destroy you. All of us here, you probably know the same thing. God always has to protect our hearts. He always has to protect our hearts, because the enemy is always trying to bring shame back. He's always trying to stop you. You start to move forward and here's shame again. Here's shame again. And so the enemy is trying to shame David and stop him in his tracks, yelling at, who is this? What am I, a dog that you send a boy after me? And yelling all of these things. And here's David, and I love this. Goliath says, these are the words he says to David, I will feed you to the birds and the wild animals. Man, if nothing else stopped you, if a giant is yelling, hey, in a few moments, I'm feeding you to the birds and wild animals. But David, this is what you've got to love about David, and no wonder he was so special to our God. Goliath said, I'm going to feed you to the birds and wild animals. David said, oh yeah, I'm going to feed you and your whole army to the birds and wild animals. I mean, what a comeback. I mean, when you look at David, the faith, the boldness, the trash talk. I mean, David trash talked like a king. He took it up a notch from what Goliath had said. And then in verses 47 through 49, we see David says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, and it struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. David then used Goliath's own sword to cut the giant's head off. I love hearing the story that Saul offered David his sword and he refused it, but on the battlefield, he used his enemy's sword to cut his enemy's head off. I mean, in our life, the reason these stones are so important, the reason it's so important not to forget where God brought us from, what he's delivered us from, what he's saved us from, is because when we use these stones, we're defeating the enemy with the very thing that he thought he was going to destroy us with. I mean, Goliath had this big sword. David picked up the enemy's weapon, what the enemy was going to kill him with, and he cut the enemy's head off. Goliath's sword became a part of David's story. When we hear about Goliath's sword, we think about David using it. You know, we don't think about, well, what did Goliath do with his sword? He probably did a lot of things with his sword in his life. But when we think about Goliath's sword, we picture David using it to defeat the enemy. That's what God will do in our lives. We can take the things that the enemy meant for evil. We know the verse, we know the song. God will use it for good. What the enemy meant for evil, when we take it out of the enemy's hand and we use it as our own story, we use it to battle. Suddenly we see this victory. We can defeat the enemy with the very things that he thought he was going to defeat us with. So here we look at what we're talking about today, slinging stones. We had gathering stones week one, stacking stones last week. This week is slinging stones. We're slinging stones. How will you battle the enemy? By slinging the stones. Those stones that you've gathered and stacked, those stones that remind you of everything God's done, those are the very stones that you pick up and sling at the enemy. Yeah, I have some stones that I sling at my enemy. Whenever Satan rises up and whenever he tries to stop me with shame or with the idea of I'm not good enough or this is impossible or whatever things, we all know the things that he'll speak to us. I can pick up a stone of being, wow, I'm free from drugs. All of us have these. You know, a teenage parent, but God saved our family. I could pick up all of these different things, almost divorced, but was rescued by God, my family restored. Some of these stones have my kids' names on them because I've seen what God has done in my kids' lives. I mean, I could look at one of these, Isaiah's names on it, my son. I mean, he's a spiritual marker in my life. When I first became a Christian and Carrie was pregnant, our family had just been restored. We almost got a divorce, and here we are back together. And then Carrie's pregnant. We pray for a name for our son, and God gives us the name Isaiah. We didn't even know what it meant. Then we look it up, and it means that God is salvation. So I have this marker. I have this stone stack that has Isaiah's name on it. Man, I can toss that thing at the enemy all day long. I can sling that stone at him. Nemo, God has done so many things in Nemo's life. I can see it. I see God moving now. I can pick up that stone and say, oh, this is something I'll throw at the enemy. Oh, people are beyond rescue. I have these stones. I have these people that have names on here, my family members, my kids, you guys. I have stones on my stack that have your names on them because I see what God's done in your life. And just testimonies that I hear from you, things that go on in your life. There's a stone here with Emma's name on it. I can pick it up. Man, Emma is unstoppable. I mean, God's rescued you from things in your life. I've heard some of your story. Satan tried to stop you, but God ended it. You're unstoppable now. I can pick that off of my stack. Anyone here can use it. Shindy, I know you look like you're happy all the time, but your life is not always happy. Your face is radiant and glowing. But I can pick that up. Why is Shindy like that? Because God's doing something in her life. When I get down or I feel like, man, there's something that God can't do or there's someone that God can't heal, I can see, wow, I've got this stone with Shindy's name on it. I've got a stone here with Colsey's name on it. Riondi, Roy, and Ricky, there's so many people, the media team. I see what God's doing in your life and I can pick up these stones. The testimonies, the things going on around you. Some of you at home, your name's on a stone on my stack, and I throw those at the enemy constantly. And if Satan tries to stop you with shame or tries to make you think something is impossible, look back at that stack, pick one up, and you sling it at the enemy as hard as you can. We're unstoppable. We can't be stopped. Those stones that we've gathered and stacked, we remember the things that God's done. David remembered the things that God had done. That stone that killed Goliath, that may have become the first pet rock. I don't know about you, but if I was David, be honest, how many of you here would have left that stone in his head and just went on your way? I would have, as gross as it sounds, I would have popped. I don't know what it sounded like. It would have been grosser than that. I would have popped that stone out of his forehead and taken it with me. Made me have it on a mantle at my house, like have Tamu over, have a guest over. Hey, what's that stone? I'm glad you asked. Put it on a necklace, maybe? How many of you single guys, how good would that be getting a date? What's that stone? Well, killed a giant. Killed a giant. Or here in Maidan, maybe we'd put it on a rock, on a ring. What's that ring? You couldn't even lift it. Got a new ring. It just back down. But, you know, I think if I was David, I would have carried that around. So part of what I would say today is we all need some pet rocks that we keep in our pouch, tucked in our pocket, something you carry around constantly. I'm not even going to put this back on the stack. I need this one because I'm in a battle every day. It's a spiritual battle every day of our lives. You need a pet rock. You need something in your hand ready to sling at the enemy. And when shame gets in your way again, you're reminded, hey, my shame was rolled away. My shame was rolled away. My sins were washed away. That's not who I am. Satan will try to tell us who we are. That's not who we are anymore. So how do we sling stones? How do we defeat our enemy? A lot of it has to do with our stories, our testimonies. We need the shame rolled away so we can tell our story. It's impossible to defeat the enemy when you're ashamed of your testimony. It's impossible. That's our weapon. That's what we have. Revelation says they defeated him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. That is one of our greatest weapons. And how the enemy stops us is he keeps us too ashamed to talk about it. And if he's coming at you and there's something here, but you're ashamed to pick it up and throw it, because I don't want anyone to see this. You know, I don't want anyone to know about that. If we get our best weapon taken away, you can't slay giants with shame in your heart. So if you're still ashamed of your story, it's not your story yet. It's your enemy's story. If you're still ashamed of it, the enemy is using it to defeat you. It's not your story. Your weapon is in his hands. And you've got to take it back. You've got to let the shame be rolled away and take back that weapon. So how do you sling stones at the enemy? Get ready, because this is the opposite of what the world will tell you. So what I'm going to tell you, this is it. This is the truth. If you want to be free, if you want to defeat your enemy, this is how you sling stones. Display your scars. Display your scars. I mean, how many of us try to hide scars? We have some scars in our lives. Some of us may have physical scars. I had a bad bike wreck as a kid and have some scars on my hand. But in our hearts, we all of us have scars and we try to hide them. We don't want to talk to other people. We don't want to share our failures. We don't want to talk about the pain that sometimes may still keep us up at night. But if you want to sling stones at the enemy, you've got to display your scars. Quit trying to hide it. Christians work too hard trying to cover scars up. What will people think if they know my story? Are people still going to accept me if they know about my past? We try to cover it all up. There may still be scars, but scars are just wounds that have been healed. When we're healed from it, hold it up. Yeah, I used to struggle with this. Yeah, I failed in this area. Yeah, this happened in my life, but you know what? Now it's a weapon in my hand because I'm not allowing the enemy to use it against me. We all have scars, but we don't all recognize the power of the scars that we have as weapons against the enemy. Every one of you here, your scars are weapons that will destroy your enemy, just like David cut Goliath's head off with his own sword. The second thing to sling stones, you need to brag about your weaknesses. I mean, how different is that from what the world tells us? Brag about your weaknesses. What if we came in today and we're like, man, I am so weak in this area. Like, just so boastful about it. Can I tell you, Royan, what I am weak in? Can I let you guys know? I mean, this scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, this is what Paul was like. Here's what he says. But he said to me, and he's talking about the Lord speaking to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, therefore, I will boast or brag all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Not just bragging about his weaknesses, gladly. Man, I can't wait to get here. I feel like I do that sometimes for church. And I can't wait to get to church to tell you about my weaknesses so you can see his strength. Man, that's the power that we have. Let me tell you how weak I am, because it proves how strong he is. That's what Paul's saying. I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. When we're not ashamed of our weaknesses, when we can talk to people about it, his power will rest on us. Our hearts are free from shame. We have this power. He said, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. That takes it even further. I enjoy my weakness. I delight in it. In insults. How many of you delight in insults? You love it. Man, I can't get enough insults. I get insulted all the time, normally from behind my back. Someone would tell me, I'm like, man, I love it. Tell me more. You know? Delight in insults, in hardships. How many of you, like, you go through a hardship? Wonderful. Praise Jesus. In persecutions, in difficulties. But he says, for when I am weak, I am strong. Man, that is the power we have in our life. When we gather stones and we stack stones so that we can sling stones, we have this power. And the third way to sling stones is to enjoy your struggles. I mean, another crazy thought. One of my favorite books in the Bible is James. And James was telling them, consider it pure joy when you face trials or struggles of all different kinds, because God is doing something in your life. If we don't have struggles, we can't get strong. I mean, it's sort of how everything, even our bodies, if we want to be a bodybuilder, we've got to make our bodies struggle and lift things heavier than these rocks, you know? It's a struggle. Struggle builds strength, not only to our bodies, but to our spirits. So without any struggle, we can't build this strength. No struggle, no strength. If David hadn't faced the lion and the bear, he could have never faced Goliath. I mean, imagine if he just complained, why do I have to watch these sheep? Why does this lion keep coming around? Not knowing God's preparing him for something better. Man, I just keep fighting this same lion. He keeps coming back. Get out of here. Get out of here. He's so tired of that lion coming, right? Not knowing maybe at the time, it was God preparing him for something else. Hey, this lion is for a purpose, because one day I'm going to have you save your people by facing a giant. All of us are going to face giants in our lives. So consider it joy when you're facing the struggles that we have today. Your struggles develop that strength. Paul even said when he was chained up, listen to this, what he's talking about his struggles. He was in a struggle, in a difficult time. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he said, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. How much easier would it be to face your struggles if you knew, wait a minute, what I'm facing right now and what God is doing in me is actually advancing the kingdom of God on the earth. What's happening in me, man, I'm facing some struggles, but what's happening is going to make a difference in the city of Madon. If we knew that beforehand, and we can know now because we read this, man, we'd face it so much differently. Well, I can handle this if it's going to advance the kingdom. I can handle this if it's going to advance the gospel. If some other people are going to get free from my story, I don't mind going through the struggle. If it's going to set someone else free. You may have heard it said, only God can turn a mess into a message. I love this quote. A test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory. Only God can do that. And these stones that we stack remind us of that. And then just to end with slinging your stones at the enemy or sharing your story with others and without shame. Sharing your stories does this. It connects your heart to the hurting people. And when you share your story, it connects your heart to people that are hurting. You become real, relevant, relational. It's like our points we have here at the church of what we want to be. When you share your story, it connects your heart. And your story could be the key to unlock someone else's prison. Your story, when they see, wow, I've seen what God's done in his life. I've seen what God's done in her life. I mean, it lets them know that if he can do it for us, he can do it for them. It heals your heart from hurting. And this is the biggest secret that we all need to know. The more you share your story, the more free you get. The more you talk about it, the more freedom you're going to get. The more we hide it, the less free we are. But when we share our story, we get set free. Our heart is healed. It becomes your story. It becomes a weapon in your hand. And then it releases hope to the world. When we share our story with faces that are shining with joy and hope, and people see it, it releases this hope to the world. We're able to release this hope to other people because we have it in us and living in us. So when we're slinging these stones and we're sharing our story without any shame, it can change the world. It can make a difference. Let me pray for you guys. Father, I'm so thankful for your word today. Lord, I'm so thankful that you have come to roll away our shame. Lord, I pray that my friends here in this room right now, that none of them are experiencing shame in their life. But if they are, that at this moment, they will allow that to be removed forever. You did not save us to live this life in shame. Lord, for my friends watching from home, Lord, set them free right now. Lord, let this be a Gilgal experience. For anyone who has been held back by shame, for anyone who has allowed their enemy to use their own story against them, Lord, roll the shame away. Roll the shame away so that we can fight our battles. Lord, I pray that everyone would take their story back from the enemy, that we would not allow our enemy to use our testimony against us, but we would defeat him, just as Revelation chapter 12 says, we will defeat our enemy by the word of our testimony. Lord, I pray that everyone will continue to gather stones in their life. Lord, that they would stack stones to remember everything you've done, that it's not just for this moment, for a monument like a history museum, but it's something that we have access to constantly for battle. It's not just for building, it's for battle. We have all of these weapons in our arsenal, all of these stones that we can choose, just like David did, and sling at our enemy. So Lord, I pray today that there is freedom among your people, that shame is removed, that strength is built. Lord, that we would see things differently. Lord, that we would begin to not be ashamed to display our scars. Lord, showing people the wounds that have been healed in our heart, the wounds that have been healed in our mind, showing people what we've gone through that you have healed us from, that we wouldn't be afraid of any of those things anymore, that we wouldn't hold back. Lord, let us share our stories without shame. Lord, I believe it will make a difference in the world. Bless your people today, Lord. Bless everyone who's listening. Lord, I pray that your presence is in their home. And Lord, when we finish this prayer today, Lord, when we lift our eyes, I pray that everyone would lift their heads with radiant faces, with faces radiant, shining with joy and with hope. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Wow. Thank you guys so much for being here with me and encouraging me so I'm not alone just talking to a camera. Thank all of you guys there because I can see you through the camera lens, all of you watching. I'm so thankful to have that. Seriously, I can see you. You're in your pajamas. I see that. But I love you guys. So thankful to have this time with you. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.